10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This podcast presents information based on theory and conjecture. The creator's purpose is to suggest some possible explanation, but not necessarily the only ones to the mysteries we will examine. Remember, everything that you hear from this podcast comes from sources on the internet. And remember, if it's on the internet, it should be taken with a grain of salt and judge it by your own discretion. As we explore topics of the occult, paranormal, conspiracy, and other dark subject matter. Welcome to the Dark Matter Podcast with your host, Mojo and Dr. Clutch. Welcome back. Welcome back. How do I sound? Do I sound good?
Sounds good.
Welcome to Episode 2 of the Dark Matter Podcast with your host, Dr. Clutch, and I am Mojo the Mad, your humble host tonight as we start to delve into the realms of dark subject matter, news, paranormal, the occult, what have you. Step into my lab with me, and I hope this lab sounds aren't too loud. I've tried to turn this down because, you know, the lab is important, I think. It gives us sort of a weird in search of Leonard Nimoy sound to it. Don't you think, Clutch?
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Yeah, I dig it.
Yeah, a little bit of ambience going on there in our lab. Yes. See, Dr. Clutch and I have been experimenting with consciousness, strangeness, and projection, and this is a part of it here. We want to have you sneak into our world, you know?
That's right.
So how's things been with you, Clutch, this week? How's, you know, update me a little bit about what's going on, and then we'll kind of do a little review. I'll tell you about what's been going on with me, some sad things, some good things, some weird things. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, things are pretty good. Getting ready to go to Japan this Wednesday, so I got to get some shit wrapped up for that. And just kind of, you know, getting all my ducks in a row. Did some water skiing this week. That was good. Played some drums. Drumming is coming along as per usual. But yeah, just kind of one foot in front of the other, just trying to, you know, I guess I guess sometimes you just you have all these projects and obligations and hobbies and stuff that you're trying to do all at once, that you just got to kind of pay attention to a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So that it's like kind of a juggling act. Yeah, I'm trying to just improve and all is in my life. So
yeah, me too, man.
Yeah.
And I'm honored that you and I could co-create here and you know, like discuss things and, you know, be able to, you know, show off like what we can do, our knowledge or lack thereof, you know, whether it be information that you, the audience out there, think is useful or not, you know, we find it to be interesting. So therefore, there you go. We're here.
Yeah.
What's been going on with me? Well, I lost my dog this week. That kind of sucked.
That does suck. Sorry to hear that.
It's all right. No, I mean, I didn't want to watch him, and neither did my wife want to watch him suffer. So we decided it was time, and the vet bills themselves would have been outrageous. We already tried to fix him up, and he wasn't getting better, and he was getting older, and it just wasn't working out. So We had to say goodbye to Mango 2 days ago. And, you know, it was really odd, you know, that, you know, I believe in sort of like image manifestation and stuff like that into my head. And I was thinking of him going through these gates, right, into rolling hills and grass. And we had my other dog, who's a pug. He was a Chihuahua, Mango was. And I dreamt of him just running and being playing. And as my wife walked out in tears, there was a rainbow and it started to rain. And that's kind of unheard of, that there's rainbows and stuff, you know, in winter and February. You know, I pay attention to those little signs and stuff. Just work and creation of music. I'm going to be playing a track that I kind of pieced together. I was trying to get it, you know, somewhat finished, but I guess this is finished. This is finished as it's going to be for our break.
All right.
You know, tonight I think we're going to be talking about, because we got cut off last time, didn't we,
Clutch? Yeah, we got cut off. The 2 hour mark just kind of came up and surprised us from out of nowhere.
Yeah. So before we go into the main, like our continuation of Tuesday news, you know, which is talking about what's in our food and stuff, I think there was a few things that came up this week. Once again, we were, you know, is it a hack? Is it a solar flare? Is it like, what's going on here? So, because we're being hit right now by multiple solares.
Yeah.
The U.S. government right now, at least the official word was that we were hit by a solar flare. They were kind of trying to downplay the hack. And then they say it wasn't a hack. It was an upload that got screwed up, but it was affecting pharmacies. It was affecting Verizon. Yeah. Isn't that strange?
What are they uploading? Like,
I don't know.
I upload stuff to the internet all the time.
But
I didn't know an upload could be so powerful.
Yeah. But as you know, the World Economic Forum has been broadcasting that there's going to be a total blackout again, like a hack, a cyber attack. Because I think that the pandemic didn't work well, did it? It didn't work
well. Well, it works well for the people that wanted to make money off it. So for some people, it worked very well. But I think they definitely, I think they want to do something like that again. So I think there's going to be another round of that someday.
I don't fear death, man. If it takes me, I just know that I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not going to comply.
Yeah. I'm definitely not taking a vaccine next time. I was mentioning about when we got cut off last time, how I took the J&J. I mostly did that just so I could get through, because I was traveling to Japan and I was like, well, this is effective at me getting on an international flight and getting through customs easily. So, but the J&J seemed like the least worst option, and it's not an mRNA. It was what they call a viral vector, but that got pulled off the fucking market all fast. Here's the weird thing about the J&J. So, like, let's say there was two ways to travel overseas. So you could go through the hassle of like getting yourself tested before you go and showing up with certificates saying that you tested negative for COVID.
Yeah.
So you could do that. And that had to be like within 24 hours. And it was like $120 or something like that. And I don't know how, and like, and you'd have to drive somewhere kind of far away to get it done. So you'd be like, drive for an hour, spend $120, get the certificate. You could do that. So if you did an mRNA vaccine, like Moderna or Pfizer, you had to be triple vaxxed. You'd have to get the triple shot. With the J&J, what was weird is that was when it first came out, they're just like, oh, this shot's a one and done. That's all you need. It's just this one. You don't need to, you don't need a follow up. And then they eventually came out with a follow up anyway. So when I was going overseas, what was interesting, they said you had to be triple vax, but they said if you had the J&J, then that first shot counts as two and the second shot counts as three. So I was like, okay, so I'm triple vaxxed according to their way of seeing it. I was like, okay, that's cool. And the J&J I did not have any like side effects. Like I did not like, cause a lot of people that took Moderna or Pfizer, they were like getting sick. Like they'd feel like they'd have the flu for a couple of days.
So you didn't get AIDS or nothing?
No, I didn't get AIDS or syphilis or nothing. And I was like, sweet. So that was just like, you know, it was Yeah, so it's kind of like a flu shot, or all the same kind of risks that you get with a flu shot. But I don't think I'm ever going to take a flu shot ever again. Now the whole shots thing kind of freaked me out.
It's all pretty nefarious, especially when you start looking at these autopsy like documentaries about, like, there was one that came out called Died Suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
And its connection,
I saw that one.
Showing these clots, like, you know, pulling clots out of people's necks, like.
Yeah, it was nuts.
I mean, they're kind of feeling like they're injecting you with a bioweapon. I had my theory that basically, like, whatever, you know, former President Donald Trump had put out there was the real vaccine, and then the other vaccine was the one that, like, you know, the current regime wanted us to have. They're pushing us down and trying to get us to do it, trying to demonize us and stuff. And you know, did I ever tell you? I think we were on the air with our other podcast, which is called Please Stand By, an ever-changing podcast. Me and Clutch App, we have many shapes and many forms. Anyway,
right.
I was working at the time. I had quit working Walmart, right? Because that was my first job when I was here. And whatever I had been going through my, you know, awareness transformation, blah blah blah. I decided to take a job in a movie theater, and I remember that they were going to try to force me at AMC to take the jab. And then to the day that I was going to get the J&J vaccine over at Walgreens, they had made it so it was unconstitutional, and nobody had to take the jab.
That was
not weird. So talking about miracles, luck, whatever you want to call it. Like, there you go, man. And, you know, another thing that came up this week, which is really interesting, and I think we've known about this for some time, is these different experimentations with AI, right? And how they're trying to enforce social engineering and DEI within the programming of these AIs. And so the more recent one that just came up was Google's AI, right? Was it called Gemini?
Gemini. Yeah, I think that's a very conspicuous kind of name. Gemini. Well, not to upset anybody who's of the Gemini astrological sign, but it's supposed to represent twins. And some people, like, who are afraid of Geminis, are they say that Geminis tend to be two-faced and stab you in the back. But and I just thought, oh, well, isn't that fitting? I mean, isn't that like what Google is anyway? It's just kind of two-faced and stabbing people in the back. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm pretty much an anti-white AI from Gemini.
Yeah. Well, as white people, I don't know how much white I am. I mean, I'm not pure white. I guess I'm American. I got all these different, you know, backgrounds, stuff like that, including a little bit of Native American. But no matter what, I got blue eyes, you know.
Well, if you got blue eyes, you're pretty much, like, it's hard to get blue eyes without a lot of European DNA, unless you're Chinese. If you're that one Chinese minority. But yeah, it's pretty hard to get blue eyes.
It's just kind of weird, like, how they're trying to push this stuff on us. And, like, you know, I mean, you and I are we're Generation X, we're childs of the 90s, right? Like, we grew up in a time when we felt like, I mean, I guess that was when I would be the most, like, you know, middle of the line, fence sitter liberal. But we came in a time where it felt like everyone was kind of getting along a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, all of a sudden switch, everything gets pushed, and there's this big push for, like, Marxist thought and racism. And yet, like, nobody considers the fact that any form of racism is racism, right? Like, it's like an acceptable form of racism for us to have, like, everything pushed on us, like, through, I mean, and they want to force that through AI. It's kind of a transhumanist kind of a thing, you know, like
it's not racism if it's anti-white. That's, like, the only acceptable racism they have is, like, anti-white racism.
Well, you know, it's like the Borg in Star Trek. It almost feels like, you know, we're going to be talking about predictive programming later. Mm-hmm. And it almost feels like that was a form of predictive programming within the media that, like, you know, they put this on as a bad guy, but it was actually, like intentional. Like, you know, you guys would love to have an AI that is a replacement for, say, gods that is, you know, converted us all into drones, right?
Mm-hmm.
We go even further, like, from, you know, from, you know, tattoos and piercings, right, to this acceptance of the shit, to people who turn themselves into a different species, to now full body modification into the you know, what they call transgender, which is now called transform into a sterile individual. Yeah, they changed it.
Really? Let me look that up. Hold on. I gotta see this. So transgender
means to transform now. Yeah. So they're fully going on with that whole like Baphomet, Solvay and Coagula, like alchemy shit now with it. So it's almost obvious now. It's a form of transhumanism, I believe.
It's definitely transhuman. Yeah.
And so going back to this AI thing, so it became further more racist, right? And to the point where, like, people were looking for a white happy couple and we found nothing, which is funny. You go to Gab. Gab has been doing an AI and they're a free speech platform and they put up white happy couple. And
yeah, I'm thinking of switching over to Gab's AI. I've been using ChatGPT, which is from Google. And yeah. I think, you know, obviously Google's the devil. So
yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
So we'll be talking about that too, because the more and more we know, like Google, Facebook, some of these social media platforms, while they were sold to us as a way for us to get together, they are a cybernetic collective, in my opinion, a hive mind, right? Trying to change and alter us into that acceptability, into that hive mind. And maybe, you know, with us here and you listening in, we can create another hive mind to counteract the hive mind that is being forced upon us, right? But didn't they ask for some Nazis or whatnot or whatever? And then they start showing Black, Chinese, and other ethnicities wearing
Well, and it's time, you know, we start blaming the Blacks for the Holocaust, you know? I mean, why not? I mean,
I don't want to, you know, there's parts of me that don't want to think that, you know, like, I mean, Jesus Christ, yeah. I mean,
I think it's just weird because they want to, you know, it's weird that they wouldn't show white people when you look for World War II German soldiers, like. I mean, that was the whole point of like the whole like big Holocaust campaign was to demonize the shit out of white people as much as you could. And so like if you suddenly replace your German soldier with like a Japanese man, or well, I guess they were actually an Axis power, but still, like, the Japanese were not, you know, alleged to be, you know, gassing and filling up the ovens, but or just having a Black person there, it's like, really? Okay. Like, I had no idea that it was the Blacks that were flying all those planes. Like,
yeah, whatever. I don't know. It's all ridiculous, man. Like, yeah. I don't know. I hope we don't have to deal with this kind of stuff where we're having to be like overly oppressed, overly monitored. I know that recently there was a OMG, James O'Keefe Media, O'Keefe Media Group, just put out an undercover operation where they were talking to an IRS agent where they were saying that the IRS now has access to our bank accounts through AI.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. And
kind of weird.
That's another part of AI too. They want to be able to tax us for everything we spend. And they're, you know, what's weird too is like we're given, you know, illegal aliens right now coming across the borders. New York is, wasn't it like $10,000 in a credit card that they don't have to pay bills for?
Yeah, what's up with that? That's pretty,
it's fucking crazy. You know, it's bad.
Did you hear about that one Black lady? They like took her $10,000 and just like spent it on just a bunch of luxury stuff. She's blue.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But I mean, was she American or was she illegal?
Let's find out. Yeah, so it was a Black mother who received, I don't think she was an illegal, I think she was an American, but she received like a little over 10 grand because her family is poor, and she blew it all on a luxury trip.
Wow.
Yeah, she was a mom of three, and a taxpayer-funded program for impoverished families, and she blew it all on a luxurious 5-day trip to Miami. Yeah, 27-year-old woman did this. I was like, what? And so where did she get the money from? I don't know if that was a New York, part of the New York handout or, but anyway,
I don't know, man. It's like, getting it's crazy. Like, well, like, I mean, this is basically like stimulus, but all of this is like stimulus payments that we should be getting, right? We're giving it to these, this new voter class that they want to put out there, that they want to be able to make a one system of government. And they want to keep it like left, deep state, Democrat type of thing, you know, one party, which becomes essentially communist, or in my opinion, a hybrid of the last two dry runs we had during World War II. A technocratic order where we're all controlled and where us as United States citizens receive nothing and our vote doesn't matter. You know, that's basically what it is. And it could also be, in my opinion, a prelude to a kind of a civil war type thing. Instead of, you know, the news will report that it's a civil war because it'll get good ratings. But it's if we won't fight each other, you know, other than being keyboard warriors, you know, or whatever demonstrations we've seen within the last 4 years, whether it was actual combat. But if we won't fight each other, we will manufacture it, right? We'll manufacture these factions and we'll call it a civil war because it just gets good ratings, but it'll be immigrants and whatever army they're building and whatever other factions they want. Cause you know, optics are everything and it's a good thing. I don't know.
I don't know if it's civil war more than it's just straight up chaos, like because it's hard to, like, let's say even like, so even if you wanted like a war between the right and the left, like it's like, unless you, I don't know, I'm not a gun person, but like they keep kind of, I don't know, I think it's kind of hard to get guns. Maybe it's easy to get guns, but generally speaking though, like guns are like, it's just hard to like get a bunch of guns and ammunition to like just go fight the commies. Like I don't see like anybody on the right trying to do that, and I don't think the left has any guns, very many guns anyway, except for using them for crime. And I don't think that, so in terms of the civil war, they kind of, it ends up kind of just being like shitty street fighting where, like, you know, people, like, it's like they'll like try and like pepper spray each other or throw eggs, and it's like, well, that's stupid, you know.
Well, it kind of feels like the movie that the Obamas produced on Netflix, Leave the World Behind, was sort of like preemptive programming or predictive programming.
Yeah, as,
you know, there's a lot of that kind of hinted around in that movie, and then of course we're having Hollywood put out another movie called Civil War, and all of this stuff has to come out.
There is supposed to be
Donald Trump for being president. That. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I wonder what's it. Let me check that out. So Civil War, yeah, that's coming soon, isn't it? Civil War movie.
Yeah. Yeah. They always,
yeah, it's a 2024 film. Yeah.
Yep.
I'll be sure to download a copy on Pirate Bay. But
well, yeah, the Leave the World Behind was supposed to be the like the prequel to that Civil War movie. So they're kind of connected, supposedly.
Ah, well, that's interesting. That's very fascinating. I would be curious to see what, you know, these schizos think a civil war could look like in between, like, I guess they're going to try and frame it between like the far right and like the schizo left.
Yeah.
And, but I just don't really see, like, granted the right and the two extremes on both sides, obviously they don't like each other, but I think maybe the left gets a hard on about confronting the right, and the right is just like, fuck this, and tends to hide out a little bit more. With the exception of like your Fed Nazis or something like that, they seem to, you know, have a hard on about demonstrations or whatnot. But
yeah,
but the doesn't seem like the far left really confronts like a whole lot of, well, maybe I'm not paying attention. It doesn't seem like they confront a whole lot of Fed Nazis. But anyway, generally speaking, like, you remember, like, the biggest clash, I think, was like the Unite the Right rally.
Yeah. Like
a zillion years ago. So that that was just like pretty shitty, and I think, you know, since then, I think people on the right are just like, fuck this, you know, like we're just gonna, I think it turned everybody into keyboard warriors at that point. They're just like, yeah, fuck this. What's the use?
Look at all the people that, like, I mean, there's a whole generation of people that that have been turned into anime listening, you know, anime watching, fucking video game playing, fucking, like, I mean, to each their own who wants to do that, but that there's a lot of, there's a lot of people that have stopped creating and basically just look for entertainment, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't really see that any different than, you know, some of our generation or in the past who were using that as drugs, you know, drugs to pass the time or do whatever.
Like escapism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, at what point do those, you know, those people, like, you know, I fear basically for people with disabilities, if something was to collapse, you know, how are they going to function, or people with autism, or, you know, like that to me would be, you know, or the elderly for that matter, you know, and I,
elderly are like probably the most vulnerable, generally speaking. Like, the vaccine comes along, it's the, like, the elderly are the first to die from it. Or let's say we get in a fist fight with China, and they decide to, like, stop producing pharmaceuticals for us, because, like, 90% of our pharmaceuticals for the elderly are coming from China.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, well, I guess a lot of elderly people are going to die if that happens.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I think the elderly are kind of the most vulnerable. But, yeah, that's, you can't really stop
that. Well, anyway, we're go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you can't, like, really stop that. I guess that's just the nature of the beast. Like whatever. Like, yeah, it would suck to be elderly right now. Eventually, we're going to be elderly, and hopefully the world will have calmed down a hair by then. Who knows?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Well, anyway, let's go into that doomsday news segment that we were going to get into. And we got a listener in. Thank you, Bobby, for coming in. We appreciate you for listening in and seeing what we have to offer. So let's go ahead and go into some today news.
Doomsday.
Welcome to Doomsday News. Cheering it on. So this is a segment we call Doomsday News, where we touch on subjects that might be partial fear porn, extreme reality, and we delve deep into it. We didn't get a chance to truly finish what we were talking about last week because we went a little bit over.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and so we're talking about what's in our food clutch. So
The overall food apocalypse. Yes, I would say we have an ongoing food apocalypse. Like, everything is fucked, really. So, obviously, for example, like, I was an advocate of, like, yeah, you should be eating meat. But isn't it interesting that there's, like, all these, like, meat facilities that are, like, spontaneously getting burned? Or, yeah, they were, yeah, there's, like, our food supply is kind of being attacked, in addition to them just, like, poisoning the food. Where, you know, if you, there's definitely an effort to get people to start eating less meat. And then there's, like, weird shit with, like, Bill Gates buying up a lot of farmland. Like, he owns, like, suddenly, like, the majority of the farmland in the United States. Like, what? So, like, we're kind of being attacked from all sides in the food.
And there's also Chinese, too. The Chinese have been buying up a lot of farmland. And believe it or not, Dr.
Phil
got really based. I think there was a episode of the Joe Rogan podcast where he had Dr. Phil on. Right. Mm-hmm. And he had a map of all of the areas that the Chinese have bought up farmland here in the United States.
That's crazy. And, like, why are we selling a farm? Like, if you own a farm, fuck you for selling it to the Chinese. Like, like, are they, I guess, unless they're a naturalized citizen, like, that's, I guess it's fine if you're, like, a Chinese American. Okay, fine. Cool. But if it, like, if Beijing is owning our farmland, like, fuck you for selling your farm to Beijing, you know? Like, why would you do that? And, like, Bill Gates, like, yeah, he owns, yeah, he's buying up a shitload of farmland, and nobody exactly knows why, but I think he's kind of going to raise crickets or some shit to make us eat bugs. But He apparently owns 270,000 acres. He's the largest landowner in the U.S. is Bill Gates. But
yeah, he owns a majority of it, but he's also trying to start like these like grocery stores in Europe, doing a test run over there of like plant-based and insect-based proteins, mm-hmm. and trying to tie, you know, yeah, if you want to talk a little bit about that, you have some knowledge into that too. But basically like we can't get enough protein from insects no matter what they try to tell us. And I think there's like right. some in the chitin of the insect that could be cancerous.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Eating bugs is going to make you sicker than shit. You know, if you got to be kind of have a sick mind to want to eat bugs, really. I mean, and you got to eat a lot of bugs to get the amount of protein that you think you're getting from a steak by eating bugs. That's a lot of bugs. It's like pretty gross, pretty darn gross. So you're not going to get the protein you think you are, and you're going to be a lot more vulnerable to the disease. But yeah, in 2022, we had like a lot of food processing plant fires. And it's like, what the are these insurance claims? What's going on here? But
I think some of them are insurance claims, but I think some of them are deliberate. I think that they are deliberately attacking our food supply, whoever may be doing this. They're attacking our infrastructure. I don't know who mm-hmm. they are. I don't know. I think some of them are insurance claims, though, but some of them are really weird. Like, oh, a plane just hit a food processing plant in Idaho one day. Mm-hmm. It's all on fire. What? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, there's these trucker convoys and farmer convoys in also the Netherlands and Germany and stuff right now. And there is talk. This is like a deliberate attempt to get people to like start a man-made famine to get us to go against the elites that are trying to limit all of this stuff right now and tax yeah. the farmers and stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty fucked. So. Yeah. So, you know, I eat a lot of meat and eggs, and I try and buy grass-fed meat and pasture-raised eggs. But yeah, as far as like all this other food, like your fruits, vegetables, and grains, a lot of those are like pesticide-ridden and are just going to make you gain lots of weight. Like they say fruit these days, even if it's organic, it's still raised to be like candy. Like a banana today is not the banana it was years ago. Still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm sorry. I'm trying to mute myself while you're talking so it doesn't sound.
Oh, I see.
You know, well, my mic will pick up on me breathing.
Like, yeah, no, that's okay. It's okay to hear you breathe. Just breathe the other way. Yeah, it sounded like you left the building. So you got to have like some of the background. You got to have atmosphere noise, I guess.
Yeah, well, I can put on that atmosphere noise, but I thought that was good for our opening. But while we're talking about this subject right now,
I meant atmosphere from your bedroom or wherever you're sitting in, like that atmosphere.
Special lab yeah. office in the center of the earth. That's where I'm at yeah. right now.
Yeah. So it's good to hear the center of the earth. But anyway, so we're all getting fucked by the food apocalypse, and everything you eat is like it's actually exposed to a lot of pesticides and forever chemicals, and that's also a lot of the boxed food and fruits and vegetables and things are also there to like give you kidney stones, and they're there to lower your sperm count. And yeah, so yeah, we're basically getting screwed with did you know that, for example, Gen Z is like having like, it's the first generation with having like the least amount of sex.
Oh
yeah. And I think it has everything to do with lowered sperm counts.
Well, it could also do that with having porn also so freely available.
That online your sperm count as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that you're just jacking it all the time and you can't go and talk to a woman because you've been sitting there jacking it the whole time. Free porn, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
On top of food, I mean, I'm not trying to take it away. I'm just trying to say that, like, you know, that's a possibility too. You know, I mean, If you deplete all of your, what's the natural chemical in your brain? It's not endorphins. It's what's it called? The endorphins?
Is
it,
Dopamine.
Yeah. If you deplete all your dopamine with nothing but entertainment, you just become a dull person. Right. You know, And then there's also pesticides right now, as you know, we found out that there was a pesticide that they're using. The company that makes Cheerios and Quaker Oats, General Mills, they were importing grain from foreign countries that are using this one chemical that is lowering people's sperm counts. We know that there's a byproduct, BPA, that turns the frogs gay, right?
Yeah.
And there's another chemical. I'm not sure exactly what that chemical
is. Phthalates is a chemical. Yeah. It's like related to plastics. Like if you're drinking anything out of a plastic bottle.
Yeah.
Or any kind of exposure to plastics with if you have a plastic shower curtain, if you're a Lego collector, but I don't want to, I'm not telling you to sell you all your Legos or anything, but yeah, like you want to kind of limit your exposure to plastics and plastic is unfortunately just kind of everywhere. I think it's especially bad in like the Far East. I guess the Japanese have plastics everywhere because they package everything in fucking plastics. They're like pretty into like we buy stuff. It's like triple wrapped in plastic for some reason. But yeah, plastics are, it's the phthalate chemicals. And they're in like hair care products or soap. So there you are like rubbing plastics on. You think you're like cleaning your body. And like you're actually, depending on what kind of soap you get, the only soap that it kind of advertises that they don't have any of this shit is Dr. Squatch. They've been I don't think they advertise it enough because they advertise that they didn't have all these chemicals, but I think they could seize the opportunity a little bit harder just because it's these chemicals are like more dangerous than people are like talking about. Like people, I think a lot of people, you tell them like, oh, there's like all these plastics that are like destroying you and your children. Like if you want to have grandchildren someday, like you want to limit your exposure to plastics. I think a lot of people would just be like, ah, fuck it. I don't care. I don't care if I have grandchildren. It's not my problem. So yeah. So I think a lot of people are just don't care. Also, you know, these farmers, you would think, oh, if I just lived out in the country and lived on a farm, I wouldn't have to worry about it. But unfortunately, all these farmers, you know, they actually have lower sperm counts than people in the cities because they're the ones that are spraying the pesticides. So they're getting like a lot more constant exposure to all this shit. So if you do move to the country, get away, like don't become some industrial farmer, like, and don't live near an industrial farm, like learn to hunt and trap your food or start a garden or whatnot. But yeah, we're all fucked.
Let me tell you, going into the microplastics one, this one's from Time Magazine, Health and Environment. Yeah. Microplastics in bottled water, at least 10 times worse than we thought. And apparently it's a 4-minute read by Aaron Baker, decides to spell his or her name. I'm assuming it's a woman, ARYNBAKER. This was January 8th, 2024. Pure and natural spring water, just as nature intended? Well, not exactly. Right. Bud water has been long marketed as a safe alternative to what comes out of the tap, but it doesn't come straight from a mountain spring. At least purified water is chemically free, but a new study by scientists at Columbia University and Rutgers University demonstrates that bottled water may be far worse. That it comes in microscopic plastic pollutants capable of passing through the bloodstream. For years, scientists have raised the alarm over the global spread of microplastics, which form plastics, break down into increasingly smaller fragments. These particles from range to 5 millimeters, about 1/4 of an inch, down to 1 microinch, about 1/1,000,000th of a millimeter, a 1/25,000th of an inch, have been found at the top of Mount Everest and at the bottom of the deepest ocean trenches. Mm. The unknown impacts to human and ecosystem health. Previous studies have found that 1 liter of bottle can contain tens of thousands of identifiable, at least through a microscope, of plastic particles. And by those studies, stopped by 1-inch threshold, largely because of the technological limitations. Now, this comes from Time Magazine, of course.
I got three things to say about that.
Go ahead.
In addition to just plastics, like, let's say like you're really thirsty. You stop at a gas station in the middle of the desert and you're like, motherfucker, I just need some water, right? And you see one bottle of water. It's just like, whatever. It's like one bottle of water. And then another bottle says, this bottle's been made from recycled plastics.
Yeah.
You don't want to pick the recycled plastics bottle. The recycled plastics have even like more, like probably hundreds of thousands of microplastics that are going to get into you if you take that. So what's funny is I've gone into gas stations and you can't find a bottled water that is not made out of recycled plastics. It's like disturbing. I was like, shit, like all of this is like garbage.
Well, so it kind of feels like they're pushing us into that, though, right? Like,
oh, totally.
They're pushing us into that by putting what was it, fluoride in our water. So when we take a shower, we have fluoride. And then or if you drink tap water, you're going to get fluoride. So you push the bottle of water thinking, it's going to be safer. It's going to be sterile. At this point, I just want to drink my own urine. It's got microplastics in it, right?
Yeah, just recycle your own microplastics. And the other thing that tap water has is what they call TDS, which is total dissolved solids. Mm-hmm. And like the total dissolved solids is basically like the water is like has to travel through all this like cement piping, ducting or whatever to get from the tower to like your tap. And San Diego has a lot of TDS, total dissolved solids, in their water. But maybe if you move out to the country, your tap water will be better or fresher. The other thing you could do, you could like, if you have your own land, you might have like
a
well water. Or if you live in the city, you could get like a reverse osmosis filter for your sink, or you could get a countertop distiller. I've heard about this. Now, the other thing though, like if you are into the carnivore diet, I'll tell you this, if you drink like a whole, like if you drink cream, for example, like heavy cream, or if you drink whole milk, or if you are bold enough to drink blood, you can actually buy bottled blood. But or when you eat steaks and you eat the animal fat, there's something about animal fat and animal blood that is like really hydrating. And you will find if you are eating enough of that, that you're probably not going to need to carry a bottle of water around with you wherever you go. Like you don't have to drink. Like there's a lot of like, it's kind of epidemic. Everybody's carrying a fucking bottle of water with them wherever they go. Like they don't leave the house without their bottle of water. It's like, how much water do you need to drink in one day? And a lot of people, you say that traditional wisdom was like, you're supposed to have 8 glasses of water a day. And it's like, actually, you probably only need half a glass of water a day. And a lot of people on the carnivore diet don't really drink a lot of water. And matter of fact, they're the ones advocating that you maybe skip water or just drink blood or milk or just eat more animal fat. But yeah, pretty much. Like Dracula, he's not looking for water.
Yeah.
The Sasquatch, I don't think, are worried about water. So yeah.
Why don't we go into this next article? This is from Channel 9 News, but it was originally written by CBS News on January 30th, 2024. BPA violates widespread in supermarket foods, regardless of packaging, Consumer Reports says. According to a new research by Consumer Reports, phylates, biphenyls, two chemicals linked to various health risks as diabetes, hormone disruption, are widespread among the supermarket staple foods, regardless of the packaging ingredients or whether they are or not certified organic. Looking to reduce your exposure to plasticizers this year, contrary to what you might think, shopping organic and avoiding plastic food packaging isn't a surefire way to avoid harmful chemicals such as BPA and phthalates. According to a new research by Consumer Reports,
really?
Phthalates, biphenyls, two chemicals linked to various health risks such as diabetes, hormone disruption, are widespread amongst the supermarket staples and fast foods, regardless of their packaging and ingredients and whether or not they are certified organic. Researchers found that 99% of supermarket and fast foods tested to contain phthalates. I think I'm saying that right. I don't know. And are also known as plasticizers, which are chemicals that are added to plastics, which make them more flexible. In addition, 79% of food samples contain bisphenol or BPA, an industry chemical that was known to make the frogs gay. In plastic manufacturing and other biphenols, both chemicals have been found in studies to be of hazardous health. Among the supermarket foods tested, Annie's organic cheese ravioli proved to have the most phthalates at 53,579 per nanogram,
followed by Annie?
Del Monte. Yeah, sliced peaches.
Annie's is supposed to be like, Annie's, like, hold on. So Annie's is supposed to be like, people that were like afraid of Kraft macaroni and cheese for being like liquid, delicious poison. Where it's like, oh, we still have mac and cheese, but we'll have to get it from like a more organic source. So, and then Annie's came out and like kind of dominated. Like if you were like a hippy dippy fucker at the fucking Whole Foods store, you were just like, well, I'm gonna feel better about most of the day. I'm gonna buy Annie's fucking mac and cheese.
I'm gonna have a cauliflower pizza with a side of BPA. McDonald's though only has 9,956 per nanogram, but if you go and get a Little Caesar's cheese pizza, it has 5,703 per nanogram. And then Wendy's crispy chicken nuggets had a whopping 33,980 phthalates per nanogram. So basically it doesn't really matter what you eat at this point, Clutch. You're all out. You're gonna.
Why just eat raw meat?
Mutated, right? All gonna be mutants. Between the jab, the 88 jabs up the butthole, and like plastics and BPA, I'm surprised we're not growing like actual frog legs at this point, right?
Well, yeah. So this is kind of where I think the alphabet community is kind of how they're being created with all these like exposure to chemicals. People are saying, oh, we were born this way. Well, maybe you were born this way, depending on what your mother was exposed to when you were in the womb.
Well, let me just check this out. This is my theory, right? I mean, I just learned it from a couple of things, but the one thing that I connect this to, which is really interesting, is the UAP phenomenon and the show. We talked about this last time, that's on the History Channel, called the Skinwalker Ranch thing, right?
Yeah.
So the Skinwalker Ranch, let's just give a little, little bit of history here. Previous to the Skinwalker Ranch TV show, right, we were funding all of this money and sending it to Bob Bigelow Industries to research UFOs. And then he had bought the Skinwalker Ranch and to test all this, to test the paranormal, only find out that was sort of fraudulent. So they later on put on this TV show to prove to everybody like, oh, look at the paranormal. It's happening. There's a cow that's dead. Look, there's a UFO. Oh, wow. Electromagnetic shit. And it's all bullshit. It's like a dry jerk off. It gets you to watch the next episode. And there's all this stupid drama and retards. And, it's dumb. It's a dumb show if you watch that show.
I've seen it. It's kind of, I think,
Well, that engineer, the blonde Southern engineer guy, right?
Yeah.
He worked for the federal government. He was a part of the Pentagon.
Of course he did. Well, of course he did.
So now let's go back to the trans thing. I think they've been putting stuff in our food and water for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been, because we know that trans people maybe now are born, but are created. I think the whole agenda through TikTok and influencing to get people turned trans is to create acceptance, but also to hide the fact that they've been putting shit in our food, just like that shit was to hide the fraudulent shit they were doing with the money getting funded to Bigelow, and just the analogy,
I see.
You see my connection? It's like a shell game, bait and switch, right?
Yeah.
I once again, I as long as you're not You know, it's so weird. Everything's fucking weird, man. It's like no matter how normal we want it to do, it all feels like the apocalypse, right? Like the reveal. Mm-hmm. And this is something that, like, I am a spiritual man. I pray for this. I used to be afraid of it, but I pray for a catastrophic disclosure on every level now. I want it just to be all revealed.
Happening.
No, but I believe that, though, don't you? Yeah. Like, as much as some of this stuff can, you know, we have to try to distance ourselves at certain points and still be critical about it, still have the ability to speak about things and talk about things openly. But and by God damn it, if I want to make fun of something, I will criticize it. That's just my fucking attitude, man. I will criticize it, make fun of it. I will point it out. I will see the hypocrisy. I'm grateful for it. I mean, it was a painful process to get through this. But for everyone that called me fucking nuts, right? And you nuts too, Clutch.
Mm-hmm. I was nuts.
Well, we all were. We all were, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
And I just pray for it all just to, like, I mean, as much as it will be painful, like, whether it be World War III, alien invasion, fucking revealing of all this shit in our food, which is starting to come out. I just want all the fucking, I mean, it's either that or, like, stop fucking pushing this shit on me, because it's gone from, like, from anxiety and worry to, like, just, like, get it over with.
Yeah.
Get it the fuck over with, man. Like, either do it or don't. But right. Fuck off. Right. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. I don't think that there is any sort of real healthy way other than to grow your own vegetables right now. I'm trying to learn and get into the habit of being responsible enough to care for something like that.
Yeah.
Like, none of us is, you look back into the past, right? Before the first Great Depression, like, there were people who made sure that they knew how to can, stock food, do all of this stuff. And they made sure they had at least a year's worth of food, right? And you had to work for your food at one point. You had to go out there and go into the fields, plant stuff, harvest it, and you worked for it. But now, like we all, I mean, you saw that. Like, most people don't even understand how food is fucking made. Yeah, they all think that it just magically appears in a grocery store, right? And what are you going to do if there's no grocery store? What happens if the dollar collapses and there's no food?
Hey, we're all, like, fucked. Yeah. You got to learn to hunt. Learn to fish.
But, like, now there's, like, okay.
Because you're not going to have time to, like, plan a farm and shit. You're just going to be like, God damn. Actually, and hopefully you can live near a river that has fish in it, you know.
Don't have microplastics or BPA in it. Yeah. Yeah. You know? Or you learn to get a blowgun and you decide, I'm going to go kill pigeons and shit.
Yeah, I don't want to eat pigeons, but yeah. Like,
I don't either. I'm just saying, like, but I mean, yeah. You think you're. Hunt, right, but you don't think there's going to be other people hunting out there.
You saw that Alex Jones song where he's like, somebody made it into a song where he's like, I don't want to have to eat my neighbor, but I will. Like,
yeah, grass fed vegans, right?
He's just like, yeah, especially if your neighbors are vegan. He's like, I only eat grass fed people. Yeah, so. So, yeah, you know, we could just return to cannibalism. Well, I mean, the elites already are kind of cannibals.
Well, no, they did. They did. I can pull up an article right here. Hold on for 1 second. Let me find this out. Go ahead and talk for a little bit, Clutch.
Yeah, actually, there is if you really want to go down the fucking rabbit hole of food paranormalness, there's a film put together by Sverige Godis called the New World Diet, and its diet is with D-I-E, lowercase t, so it, like, kind of puts the word die back into diet. But in that film, he's talking about, it's weird, like cannibalism used to in the past. So, like, what we know about cannibalism is, like, from studying, like, South America and Central America when the Spaniards came in and conquered it. Like, there's probably, there's still obviously some cannibalism still in Africa, but it was pretty prevalent amongst the Aztecs, let's say. And it was popular enough to like where people thought it was weird that if you didn't occasionally eat a human. And I was like, whoa, well, that's pretty intense. But the thing about it, though, the thing about cannibalism, if you are a cannibal, that the organs that you eat are actually like, it's not just about like muscle meat. And you figure like cannibal, like you're a cannibal today and you look at a human, you're just like, well, hopefully the human's fat and juicy because like, you know, I don't want to mess with all the organs. But technically speaking, like organ meat is supposed to be really healthy. And what's weird in terms of like cattle mutilations from like aliens, UFOs, it's weird that they already just go straight to the organs and they exsanguinate or remove all the blood out of these cattle. So it's like they're already like these aliens are already on a carnivore diet and they already like they avoid the muscle meat and they go straight for the organs and the blood. And basically that's what cannibals used to do as well. And I think even in like vampire folklore, well, I don't think vampires are eating organs so much, but they were definitely exsanguinate their victims. Like, so there is something nutritious about blood. The one weird thing, just as a, if you want like the extra footnote to this, like in terms of like the thirsty ghosts or the thirsty spirits that are looking for the blood or what have you, the weird thing to this about the Jesus Christ egregoric figure, he's like a reverse vampire in a way. So like you'd say, okay, all these Christians are committing cannibalism when they have communion. But like if you meet Dracula, Dracula's like, hey, fuck you, I'm stealing all your blood. And you're like, no, don't do that. Whereas like Jesus Christ is supposed to be like, drink my blood. Like I'm the vampire of everlasting life. If I'm the reverse vampire, you can eat my body and drink my blood. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I mean, but it's a weird, I don't know if anybody's like put two and two together like that the way I just did, but maybe somebody has. But it's just a weird thing to think about when you figure, you know, we're trying to live our lives in terms of, you know, how to be healthy, you know, where you get your energy and your spirit from and whatnot. And it's just, what an interesting metaphor for a deity to come along and be like, hey, I'm the reverse vampire and I won't feed off you. You just feed off me. You can be the vampire as a follower. Come to church every Sunday and eat me. Yeah. But
well, you know, you look up into the news, they're like, is cannibalism legal in Maine? Is cannibalism legal in Texas? Is Idaho rep aims to widen cannibalism definition over composting worries? Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, let's take a look at that. New bill titled Cannibalism introduced in Idaho legislature. Idaho Rep. Heather Scott introduced a bill that would text Idaho's established cannibalism law. Boise, Idaho, a bill was introduced in the House State Affairs Committee on Thursday, February 8th, which aims to add language to Idaho's cannibalism law, which already outlaws any person who willfully ingests the flesh and blood of a human being. House Bill 522, titled Cannibalism, was written and introduced by Republican Representative Heather Scott, which the bill aims to expand the definition of cannibalism to include the provision of human flesh or blood of others, especially providing that the flesh or blood of another human being without their consent. So if I'm sleeping and someone's eating, I can go ahead and sue like them
a,
for...
It's like a hate for crime if you're
taking
sleeping.
A snack on me. Yeah. Bunching on me. And I think there was some bills like Vice and stuff not too long ago was alluding to like, we need to have some acceptance towards cannibalism. You know?
Well, I think they're trying to like if you meet some African that used to be a cannibal and they try to become a naturalized citizen.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to look at them with derision and shame or
I don't know, brother.
Well, what's funny is they do try and Christianize cannibals, and I don't know how well it works, but yeah, you'd hear about that and you're just like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
Like I think once you're a cannibal, I don't think there's any coming back. It's like trying to turn a hoe into a housewife. You can't, you can't Christianize a cannibal. There's actually a song called Christianized Cannibals by the band GBH.
Nice.
It's off their City Babies Revenge album. But I don't think you can Christianize a cannibal. I think it's impossible. Despite what the Pope says, it's not a thing. It's like it's a hoe into a housewife situation. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Or it's like saying there's like ex meth addicts. It's like, no, once you go down the meth path, like you don't give that up.
Like, yeah, that's not entirely true. I know people.
Yeah, I think it's mostly true. I mean, yeah, it's not okay. Granted, some hoe can change to a housewife, but you know. You look at it.
I'm talking about meth addicts here. You're talking about hoes and housewives.
And Christian. Anyway,
I think we should take a break.
It's all kind of the same thing, different categories. But yeah, there's some, you can't change people, man.
Why don't we go ahead and take a break, though, Clutch? We're going to go ahead and take a break. We're going to take about, 6 or 7 minute break, and then we're going to come back into our main topic, which is going to be about the CIA and its involvement in the music industry, entertainment, social engineering, and predictive programming. Please stand by. Have a good day. We will be back here in about 6-7 minutes, okay?
Rock and roll. See you in a minute.
We'll be right back after the break.
I'm just an average guy. I like getting up in the morning, chopping some wood, having a good, hearty breakfast. And if you're like me, you like having the nice warm taste of something good on your tongue to help wash down your breakfast. And not just anything will do. It has to be bitter, but not too bitter. Rich, but not too rich. And let me ask you this. Do you also like not feeling jittery in the morning? Well, it's time to ask yourself, do I want to feel good or do I want to feel good about myself? I'm not talking about just some rubber crutch like decaf. This is a blend of herbs and spices that literally doesn't have any effect on you at all. Try the new chicory herbal coffee with 0% caffeine. It's great flavors, French roast, maca chocolate, vanilla nut, all of them solid. You'll feel a lot better, and you'll enjoy the taste that is amazeballs. It won't make you feel like you're tweaking balls.
to swing in. Hey, Mary Jane, my spider sense is raging.
You are a Mavel.
I'm gonna shoot. The end came too soon. The ceiling is mutual. With great power comes great responsibility. Spider-Man condom. New Durex Spider-Man condoms with heightened senses. Webbed for her pleasure. Spider-Man condoms. They're sticky.
Hashtag save Spider-Man.
Come back from the break.
Well, we are back now on the air. Sorry about that music that was playing in there. I thought I had it all lined up and ready, but unfortunately, it tended to overlap.
Yeah.
We are back right like now. Overlap. Yeah, it started to like glitch out and stuff like that. But that was mine, unfortunately. I'm going to try to perfect that a little bit. You know, I try to play other people's music. I try to get that on. I want to encourage anyone that's listening, if you're making music or you're doing art, to do so. But also you can add submissions in here if you've got something or a fake ad. And those are fake ads that I and Clutch have done together. And we'll try to make the break a little bit longer and stuff like that. But, you know, it is something that I try to do. I try to add my own music here without having to sample other people and make it original. That's the only thing that we ask, is that if you're making something, make it an original and give us the permission to play it for you. We'll be gladly able to play it on the air for you. And we'd like to share our space with you. So the next thing that we're going to be talking about is going to be the CIA, its involvement in social engineering. Programming and music industry and entertainment. So why don't we go ahead and go into our main topic right now. Here's the stinger.
Now the dark matter of the main topic.
Yeah! Woo! Yeah. Woo! Everyone's going to love that one, don't you? Don't you love it? There we go. Loving it.
I just wanted.
You're loving it. I'm still trying to get used to these audio effects. I like to do it without being obnoxious, like the last show. But, you know, thank you. Thank you. No applause, just money. So
before we get started.
Go ahead.
Do you know the year that the CIA was created?
Yeah, I think it was, wasn't it formerly the OSS or something
like
that?
No, the year it was created. What year was it?
I don't know the exact year. Tell me.
1947.
Woo!
Do you know what else happened in 1947?
What happened? Tell me. Go ahead.
Roswell.
Yes, Roswell, New Mexico. Yes. It was also during World War II, wasn't it? Wasn't the formation of what was formerly whatever the CIA was before that? And don't quote me on it. It was another organization beforehand. And then during World War II, they incorporated informants and spies within the Italian mafia and the Jewish mafia, right?
So you're right. It was the OSS, Office of Strategic Services.
Okay.
So the CIA grew out of that. And that was established to help win World War II. From the onset, the OSS was intended to be a temporary agency with plans to dissolve it upon the end of the war. So CIA came about after the war, and and same year as Roswell. It's kind of weird because the other year that I think is tattooed a lot of conspiracy people's heads is 1913, which is like Federal Reserve and IRS and one of
alphabet agencies.
So 1913, so CIA is not part of the 1913. It's part of the Roswell thing. So that's kind of refreshing, maybe? I don't know.
Refreshing, interesting, scary at the same time, yes.
Yes. So the CIA seems to, in addition to like fighting secretive wars and losing them all the time to kind of generate money, it seems like they're also called it's like a state within a state. It's like they're completely not constitutional. And this is like why smarter people like Ron Paul used to be like, we need to abolish the CIA. And I I definitely agree. We should abolish the CIA, but
FBI as well. They've been all kind of involved with a lot of obviously like cover ups and such. You know,
so that, generally the CIA is a spy agency. Yeah, so that's the other thing that was like. So if you look at the FBI is like an internal thing, like for like. So it's federal, so it's investigative of like domestic shit going on, whereas the CIA is supposed to be like foreign shit that they're supposed to inspect. But I don't think they're not inspecting domestic stuff because they certainly are.
Well, they've pretty much turned their, they've kind of been weaponized against us.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah, and they do seem to, yeah, so there's a lot of rumors that they've sort of created like a lot of like music scenes, you know, even so rap music, first of all, they've been accused of kind of or gangster rap specifically. They've been kind of accused of being behind the scenes in that to like get blacks to shoot each other with gangster rap or to inspire like more turmoil in like black communities. But they, would you believe though, that they're also accused of influencing the punk rock scene. And I thought
I would assume all scenes at this point, man. I think that anything that's been anti-establishment, I mean, if you look at the history of rock and roll and music mm-hmm. that was like outside of, you know, what was previous to that, which was like big band, jazz, country music, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You would assume that, you know, even those other genres, their downfall had something to do with what happened during that time, right? Like there was from the 1950s to like what we know is like what we think is like rock and roll or pop music at that time, went from, you know, like Little Richard and Elvis and such like that to mm-hmm. to like the Doors, Pink Floyd. All of these different, they had a heavily influence with like drug culture, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And it started to go from like, from just being in a band that might get popular to, you know, being chosen to be in this position, correct?
Right. Well, kind of the way I see probably the CIA's interest in this is they try and weaponize the music. I think at first they thought, you know, if we give, you know, these savage people in the Middle East, you know, like better music with liberal values in it, maybe they'll like be, maybe they won't beat their women, right? Maybe they'll be
I don't know, man.
I think, well, the police, for example, they did like these. So you're telling me about Mr. Miles Copeland III,
yeah,
who was like kind of this juggernaut in the, and his father, Miles Copeland, was like one of the founders of the CIA, and Miles Copeland III was kind of accused of being part of the CIA, even though he said he wasn't, but it's like maybe he kind of was, but he was kind of this like juggernaut in like getting bands signed to different record labels, and of course he had like conspicuously had a label called IRS Records, but why would you call your label IRS Records? It's stupid. But anyway, yeah, so like, and he was interested in some really weird bands that you wouldn't think of, like the Cramps, for example. Like he was like really like the Cramps, like the whole like talk about like the, who was it? Lux Interior, the singer of the Cramps. He was kind of
he's a heavy influence on me. I really love the Cramps, by the way. I understand that they're really angry with this Copeland character.
Right.
Same with band X at the time too. Like the guitarist from the band X had openly accused him, and it was like to the point of confrontation.
Yeah.
You know, and you can also see that influence if you watch a movie called Decline and Fall of the Western Civilization. You can see the influence between like the political bands or the ones that were somewhat what you'd call Marxist at the time or revolutionary were the screamo bands and the ones that were of the original punk scene that had come out, and could see that those bands were more like old rock and roll with distortion, right? Like almost rockabilly. And there's this dichotomy of all of that. You can watch it. I mean, I just see it. Maybe that's not my observation. There's, you know, I don't know, but I mean, it goes, you know, I think that almost every music scene kind of was with its intent to form a micro cult in a way to get a group of people into something and transform it in a way. It's almost like you're trying to transform the youth of that day or this day into, you know, mold them into whatever you can to destroy your own government, right?
Or destroy somebody else's.
Or society.
Or just to have an influence. I just thought it was weird, like, the police, like, they were playing in, like, China, and they were playing in, not India, but, well, maybe it was India, but also, like, the Middle East, like, on their first world tour. And it was like, who the fuck knows about the police in their first world tour? I mean, what year could that have been? Like,
I don't know. I know like that one of Sting's songs.
Late 70s about, or so.
Well, it was one of Sting's songs when he was solo about Russia, basically, was like an anthem-esque kind of thing that they say may or may not have helped with the downfall of the former Soviet Union, too.
Right. Well, that's the other goofy shit. You remember, well, I was thinking, like, as I learned about this, it seemed like music, people get, like, really heady ideas about, if only Russia listened to the Scorpions, you know, that maybe they'd be a democratic society.
No. But that song, too, was supposedly
written by the Winds of Change.
Winds of Change was one that was supposedly written by producers with ties to the Central Intelligence Agency.
Well, there was always like this huge thing like where they actually, if you followed MTV back in the day, I guess it's really marking ourselves as Gen X here, but you remember a fucking what was that stupid Russian band that had that song? Oh, they were called Gorky Park, right?
I heard of Gorky Park. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, that. So they had a song called Bang or whatever, and it was supposed to be like this Russian metal band. They were pretty crappy, but they were trying to like get like Western music into Russia. And like there was like this thing where like they would have like limited numbers of like Western metal bands or rock bands like that would go behind the Iron Curtain into the forbidden zone of Russia, and MTV would be there to like kind of film it all.
Yeah, I remember there was a Coca-Cola commercial too that was out during that time, and they were like promoting these Russian underground clubs that were. You know, how they all shared a Coke and a smile and had these rock concerts, you know? You know?
It's pretty retarded. I'd love to see that commercial.
It was weird, huh? You know?
So, but it just seems like, you know, and like rock and roll kind of gets weaponized in different, you know, there's Christian rock, and the only reason that exists is because they're like, well, kids like rock and roll, and like maybe this is a chance to like get our Christian message to them,
but look at the downfall of country music, though, too. Like, I mean, it went from
I never got into country.
I enjoy it now as a musician. Like, and I don't know if you share this. I mean, maybe your tastes are more selective, but as I started branching out and playing like different instruments. Like I got into different styles, like even reggae and different stuff. You know, I grew up with that stuff, and so for the longest time I was a country hater, and then I started listening to the old stuff, and I started to enjoy it, and it started to sound like blues and stuff to me. I'm not a big fan of anything past 1970, and I'm a big fan of anything from the 1930s on up, like the more folk stuff. But
I wouldn't say I'm a country hater, but I just never got into it. Like,
I know, but I mean, the politics of it changed it. Like, you could even say that Taylor Swift was a major representative of that. And you don't hear like it's got to be inclusive now. It's got to have all this different kinds of stuff in it. That takes away from that. They have to kill the white man's soul in a way. They have to destroy that, and then they have to replace it. And then we start seeing these like liberal, like bluegrass bands popping up during the early 2000s.
Do you remember Hootie and the Blowfish?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know that guy Hootie, I guess, is like, he's a country singer now or something like that.
Well, to each their own. There's nothing wrong with that. There's been,
but I'm just saying, like,
black, you know, like country music
there we
singers
are with, like, we got to have diversity in cowboy music, and it's like, oh,
well, no, but Ray Charles was playing cowboy music. Did you know that? That's how we got started. Ray Charles was a country music. Yeah, it's always been there, man. Music is the one thing that crosses culturally with different things, you know? Like,
well, when blues kind of came about with the blacks, they did have like city blues and country blues. Like there was a difference between the two.
Yeah, there's different styles of blues, like Chicago blues, Southern Delta blues. I'm a big blues fan as well. Like I like it all, man. Like there's
the only thing I don't like is 10 minutes. And then I'm done with blues. I think, well, they say jazz is a bunch of blues musicians who got bored.
But
now I don't really listen to jazz.
Yeah, but let's go back on topic about the CIA's involvement with this, though. Like,
Right.
So, well, I mean, I think it goes back to the 1960s. There's that one article, if you want to pull it up, about the CIA drugs and the 60s, right?
Right. Well, they definitely kind of put drugs out there for the people in the 60s. And then they kind of took them away because it seemed to be more than society could handle. They were specifically psychedelic drugs. I would guess that the CIA is kind of interested in all drugs if it goes along with what they want. Like you could say, for example, the CIA, for example, has an interest in this, like Ukraine, for example, and they're having like soldiers in Ukraine get into drugs to like be super soldiers. So they're giving them like meth and stuff.
Well, you know, the subject right now, this is from Please Kill Me. It was dated April 14th, 2020. We were all brainwashed by the CIA with sex, drugs, and rock and roll by Joseph L. Flatley. Did you know that LSD and the hippies were invented by the CIA in the 1960s? No. Well,
no.
The idea was to come up, was to hook kids on sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And hey, it worked. So they would not overthrow the military industrial complex. Accomplices in this diabolical scheme were in England, the Beatles, and in America, Jim Morrison, Frank Zappa, and other residents of Laurel Canyon in LA. Joseph Flatley dove down in this conspiracy rabbit hole to find out what happened. There's a guy from the CIA, and he's been creeping around Laurel Canyon, Frank Zappa, Plastic People. Were you aware that Jim Morrison, Frank Zappa, Papa John Phillips, David Crosby, and all the children of high-ranking members of the American military, or that the Los Angeles neighborhood of Laurel Canyon was the one-time home to all of the above? Was also the locations of the Air Force's 1352nd Photography Group. These factoids might not mean much to you, but according to the late conspiracy theory, David McGowan, they indicated a military psychological operation of mind-blowing proportions. McGowan, who died in 2015, laid out the theory on podcast through in his web center for the Informed America, CIA, get it? And later in his weird book of weird scenes within the Laurel Canyon covert ops and dark heart of the hippie dream, McGowan claims that the hippie movement of the 1960s was conceived in a government lab or somewhere as a way to defuse the nascent anti-war movement. This plan was simply to put kids to get hooked on rock music, hard drugs, and taking their mind off revolution in the process. Perhaps the individual most emblematic of this scheme was Jim Morrison. Morrison essentially arrived on the scene as a fully developed rock star, complete with the backing of a band, a stage persona, and an impressive collection of songs.
However, they didn't have a bass player.
They did not have a bass player. How exactly Jim Morrison reinvent himself in such a radical manner is a mystery. Jim Morrison's band arrived on the scene as a fully formed entity. The plan was, simply put, to hook the kids on rock music and hard drugs and take their minds off the revolutionary process. Perhaps it should be noted that David McGowan was not a stand-up comic mocking the lunatic fringe of a conspiracy theory, nor was he an acid casualty whose mind was blown after watching Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove. No, not at all. He was sincerely believed above all of the above. So basically, Laurel Canyon, if you guys know, was a film. Basically, they were a film company for the military that filmed fake atomic blasts. So those atomic blasts that you're seeing where there's cars blowing back and forth, that was fake. That was all staged. That was all to cause terror and fear and get people into it. But anyway, we go into John Coleman in the tradition of many conspiracy authors claims that he found out but how the world really works while serving an agent as the British Special Forces Intelligence Service. As soon as he got out, he made his life's mission to expose the cabal of Jesuit Freemasons, intelligence agencies that secretly run the world at the behest of the Queen of England. Of course, the vast majority of this conspiracy culture called whistleblowers. All we have to go here is by Coleman's word, and judging bizarre conspiracy theories of his word is to be trusted. Your thoughts, Clutch?
Well, my thoughts. It's hard to, I don't know. Frank Zappa is a really smart guy.
He was pro-war, by the way. He was pro-Vietnam War. He was actually kind of a...
Really?
Yeah, he was a pro... military-industrial complex guy that hit. A lot of these people were hit. Look at Neil Young. Neil Young was one of those guys, right? Then he's all pro censorship now, which didn't work out for
him.
Didn't work out for him too well. But a lot of these people that were supposedly anti-war, anti-whatever, they were pretty much all involved with it. There's a list of it too. The Byrds, Frank Zappa, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Love, Grant Parsons, Neil Young, of course, Poco, and America. And going back into the punk rock thing, did you know that the keyboardist of the Doors, right? What was his name? Let's find out real quick. The Doors.
Doors.
Sorry.
Technically, on the keyboards, the low keys, that would be your bass, I guess.
Ray Manzarek.
It's not a bass guitar. Yeah.
But so he's
responsible for the bass sound.
Ray Manzarek was also the producer for the band X.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
This he was.
Small, incestuous world.
Why don't you go ahead and take care of the article, one of the other articles we have there. Why don't you do the one on Ice Cube and rap and all that stuff? We'll take that one.
Ice Cube and rap. Yes.
Go ahead.
Or as they say in Japanese, Chotomata Kudasai. Okay. Oh, this is straight out of Compton. Did the CIA infiltrate rap music? Short answer, yes. But is it possible that gangster rap was invented by the CIA as a means to keep black people fighting and killing each other? And then they say there's these videos that you can't watch. But basically, it seems incredibly possible. So they say in this specific video that Rick Ross looks at how the CIA was responsible for the rise of rap groups such as NWA. So there's not this article is just requiring me to watch a video. Let's see. So there's some more shit here. So Eazy-E and NWA, Godfathers of Gangster Rap, Big Lies and Propaganda. The late Eric Wright, a.k.a. Eric Wright, Eazy-E, Godfather of Gangster Rap, was a confessed street gangster, gangbanger, and drug dealer. He also died of AIDS, from what I understand.
Yep.
Which kind of leads me to believe he was probably not just heterosexual, but possibly bisexual, because kind of hard to get AIDS from a woman. So gangster rap is a money-spinning, genocidal subgenre of hip-hop, particularly created to reflect, glorify, and perpetuate, and project subliminal. It's hardly subliminal. It's freaking right there in front of you. There's no backward masking here. And conscious implants of criminal, sadistic, and demonic imaging of black inner city. There's nothing. I've heard like the fucking whatever their debut album was from NWA. There was nothing subliminal, and I didn't see anything demonic. I mean, you could call it demonic, but they were not talking about literal demons. So 1986 had been the year of crack. Newsweek called crack a national scandal.
You know what also was the year of, too? Meth epidemic too, about almost coincidental with the crack epidemic.
Really?
Even though the crack and meth.
Crack,
yeah, man. Those two, I mean, not saying that methamphetamines weren't around. They used to call it speed, right? Now it's meth.
Yeah.
But it was around during the 60s and whatnot. I mean, it's been around since the World War II. But the epidemic that started hitting the United States seems to coincide, even though the crack epidemic seemed to be louder at the time over the news cycle. We were having meth labs explode all over San Diego when I lived there back in the day. I remember watching it on the news as a kid. Mm. And so my theory is, if the CIA was involved with handing crack cocaine to the black community, what if the CIA was involved with handing meth to the white community?
Mm.
Okay. You know, I mean, because it seems to, I'm not saying that it's racial at this point, but it is kind of racial. It seems to go, like, all of it seems to go across, you know, racial lines. But now, okay, but at the time, meth was heavily associated with the Hells Angels and, like, neo-Nazis and stuff like that. And if you
look, they say speed is kind of a white man's drug.
Yep. Heroin is kind of, because they also, you know, the pharmaceutical industries were also under Purdue, were putting out opiates, selling them to kids, telling people they could go ahead and take them. And now we have a major epidemic with people that are not only connected, hooked on, well, heroin, opiates, fentanyl, that kind of thing, you know?
Well, whenever you go to the dentist or have like a surgery or like a tooth pulled or something, any kind of situation where, like, or you need a prescription for painkillers.
Yeah,
it's the pharmacist, I guess. I mean, like, whenever you get if you have to go get a prescription from the pharmacy, they're going to give you like way more painkillers than you actually need.
Absolutely. And
I think that's deliberate.
Well, anyway, we're going to have to cut this short, but in surmise, I know we're probably having to get into this, but I don't want to have Podbeam kick us off.
Right.
Your thoughts on this as we get into this, get out of this part of the podcast, sir?
Well, I kind of think, you know, I think like music is just kind of, people try and weaponize it for whatever they want. They think that it can be some kind of tool for society or for the greater good, or, you know.
With movies and stuff like that. I mean, look at all the movies talking about pandemics, zombie viruses. It almost feels like they, you know, they're trying to push civil war on us. They want to have like Mad Max then leads into Blade Runner world. You know, right now I kind of feel like we're in a combination. If you're using movies as a reference or a form of predictive programming, Scanner Darkly, you know, look into, you know, I think I sent you something recently on Blade, Clockwork Orange and Liberal Democracy Gone Mad. Right. I think that we're kind of in that realm right now. We haven't quite gotten into the Mad Max Civil War thing yet, but all of this stuff is somewhat connected and it might add fantastic elements to these films and stuff, but the underlying social message is that they are trying to lead us into this so we accept it all. And with that, why don't we go ahead and let's just see what we got here. Go ahead and do some plugs and stuff. Dr. Clutch, I don't mean to cut it short, but we are in a minute and 41 minutes. What do you have to plug, my friend?
What do I have to plug? Meat, raw meat, and raw
eggs. Nice. Now, what about your blog that you have? Huh?
Actually, I moved that. I moved it to, I'm actually kind of dual blogging in English and Japanese. So if you go to monstersandangels.com, it now forwards to a Japanese site. So all the articles are there. It's just that they're in English and Japanese. And there's a hyphen between monsters-and-angels.com.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's, I got to add some more stuff. I've got to do a lot more translations too, but yeah, so I got that going on. Yeah.
All right.
That's
good. Well, you can find me in Mojo the Man on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. I have stuff on SoundCloud from our previous podcast, Please Stand By. And then Mojo the Mad and the Drum Alum Ding Dongs. If you want to hear some ads, music, and stuff that I've made, I hope that the music I play currently during our break did not mess that up too much. Mm-hmm. Try not to be a bungler, but sometimes the technicality of crap and trying to do stuff too quickly with everything that's happened this week, I've had kind of a crunch to get it all done. But anyway, we will see you. Clutch will be gone for the next couple weeks. Next couple weeks I have going. Coming up, I'm going to have special co-hosts come in. I believe I'm going to have Nathan Elvis Friedman coming on the 3rd. And then on the 9th, I believe, of March, we're going to have a heathen Gothi by the name of Thorfinn Liberty come on. We're going to be talking about mythology, heathenism, paganism and such, and how it represents, and then the local area. And then Clutch will be back to join us for that time. And he, you know, he needs his break. He needs to go see some baby metal, fucking get all ninja in fucking Japan. So
actually, I didn't say my website right. It's actually monstersandangelsareal.com. monsters-and-angels-are-real.com.
Yeah. I'd like to thank everybody who joined us today. Bobby, who entered the studio, Saint LMC, Adam, and Radio Parlesque. Thank you for listening in for a little while. We love our viewers. For those that are listening in afterwards, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. That's about it, man. We're going to go ahead and take this out. Let's go ahead and do the outro. This was a remix outro by Dr. Zaius.